From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fan. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, welcome to another edition of the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl. This is the bye week episode heading into the All-Star break. NHL style, BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher. And it's been a successful three-game win streak, 6 points on the table, all accumulated by the Blue Shirts heading into this bye week. Now we got the NHL All-Star break. We're going to have this dialogue on how the team play with RP, of course. And moving forward after the All-Star break, and of course, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram. RP, I know you're a happy guy thus far since the last episode. How's everything, man?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Yeah.
This
will be pretty good. The Kreiders and Bowers, the Gorilla line, really taking off, really doing what they're supposed to be doing. And when they're playing that kind of game, Steve, it's fun to watch. So, some good games, close games, and you know something? It's good to get 6 points there and got out of the funk they were in. Kind of stink that they go on a break now for, you know, nine, almost 10 days here, and I'll have to sort of get back into the swing of it. I mean, it's not just like they have a couple of days off. These guys are traveling all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Brady Shea's in Puerto Rico, and Zimbabwe.
Nice.
Back in his home country, and these guys went home. I mean, I didn't even realize that with the bye week, it was no hockey, I guess, until after the All-Star break, I think that Monday. So, going to be, as much as they achieved, it's going to be another chore for Quinn to get the boys back on the horse, you should say. But, I mean, it's just where everyone's going to go through. I mean, the whole Metro, I thought the whole Metro division was off, but the Rangers and Devils and some other teams all started their buys, and, you know, everyone's going to go through it. So at the end of it, it's all going to even out. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, man. That was the number one question I had for this episode is how does Quinn get these guys or keep them rejuvenated after a nice couple of wins versus some teams. Some of them are shelving themselves, and also some of these teams like the Boston's is in the mix of, in the playoff race. How does he keep them motivated after a long stretch? We said it, I think part of it, I kind of answered it in a way. We said that I think that light, you know, putting that light under them after the Columbus game could get them on a nice little win streak, and it has. So, but how does he keep it going is the question after, you know, a break like this.
You know, I don't know if he knows how he's going to get them motivated, to be honest with you. He's a, you know, it's a thing. They're going to come back a little flat. None of them really going to be sitting for a long stretch of time. And I'm not quite sure he really has an idea what he wants to do. You know, do you skate them hard? Do you have a long practice? Power home against Philly, so they could have a Monday practice and then a morning skate. They'll normally, those are mandatory, but the teams that are smart enough will tend to show up. It's a real tough thing. You know, Lundqvist is going to be playing in the All-Star break, so he should be pretty much sharp. Gorgiev is down playing a ton of games in Hartford because they're not on a break this week. So him and Lindgren went back to Hartford to get some games in. So goaltending-wise, he should be all right. Player-wise, your guess is as good as mine. I you know, we really had this situation. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, there's a lot of things to build on. There's a lot going on off the ice with the Rangers, too, with all these contract situations and the trade line deadline approaching. And today the rumors started. And so there's a lot going on at one time. I guess he's just going to go out there and see what he gets out of them and then hope they get really pumped up to play a Philadelphia Flyer team that always gets the juices flowing anyway. It may not be, you know, that game in itself might help get things going because they're going to want to be going after them, too. So it's going to be interesting, I tell you that.
Right. I like the way they responded in the Blackhawk game on Thursday. What things about that particular game versus an original, you know, both original six games, Chicago and Boston, but what things did you like on the way they responded after being down early on versus the Blackhawks?
Well, I tell you, I like how they responded when they had that goal taken away on the offsides call. And instead of putting their heads down, they kept going out and kept going out, and they got the 3-1 lead anyway. I like the way Carter played in that game. Gil scored a beautiful goal in that game. He has two goals in the last two games. But again, in these games, the top players on the team are performing the way they're supposed to perform, and it's what you're looking for. And I think it's important. You know, Zibanejad scored in the Hawk game, as did Zuccarello and Kreider, so that line all had goals. Hedl's playing very well. The goaltending's been playing solid. So I like the way they're battling. I like the way they're competing. It sometimes seems like a light switch. Like, you know, they were playing so poorly, and then the last three games, everything they should be doing, they are doing. And it doesn't really matter who they're playing against. They're all NHL-caliber teams. And I think at the end of the day, you want the compete level to be there. And there were some games there when they were giving up a lot of goals, taking a lot of stupid penalties, and you didn't feel and you didn't see that compete level that you saw earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And now these last three games, you saw them again. And I think that's the hardest thing as a rookie head coach with a lot of kids who aren't used to playing so many games and so many hard-hitting games. If you look at these games, the Rangers are always really engaged. They get hit a lot. And, you know, Brett Howden hasn't scored a lot of goals, but he hasn't played bad. Hedl's been doing, you know, very well. Pionk, before he got hurt, was playing well. So it's a give and take. There's a lot to it. I thought Ryan Lindgren played good in the games that he was up. Learning, too. It's a faster game. When you come to the NHL from the AHL, it's all learning experience, like we said. But their compete level is what needs to be really high every game, because it's never going to be easy for the Rangers. They're not pure scorers to begin with. They're playing with a lot of youth and inexperience on their team. So if they don't compete with all those other factors, you'll see some of those results we saw earlier in the month when they really struggled. And I think that's where Quinn might be seeing what works. You know, it's only been half a season for him, too, head coaching. So he's feeling things out and learning the game, too. The one thing Steve has really been happy with is the last three games, he didn't change his lineup. He went with what worked, and that, to me, is great. That gives you chemistry. Look how good Zibanejad is playing. Even Buchnevich, even though he's still on the fourth line, getting a lot of scoring opportunities, scoring a couple of goals. VC's been playing well. So I think it's important that you try to keep that chemistry right at this point, and that will help your compete level. These guys are starting to play with a lot of pride, with a lot of heart, and a lot of that has to do that they're playing together with more or less the same lines, the same defensive pairings, and it's starting to show.
That is correct. It's about the effort. It's always been about the effort with this team. We've identified that is going to be the number one issue as far as competing versus other squads. And when they do, especially when they're at full strength, and a lot of these games without Hayes, surprisingly, they've actually kept afloat. I thought up until this point, arguably, Hayes has been the most well-rounded Ranger. And even in these last games without him, it's been even, unexpected in a sense, because I thought competing and they would have lost a game here or there, but they've been fighting, like you said, RP. But some of these games look really one-sided early on, and sometimes it takes a valiant goal like Philip Hedl, especially either game, it doesn't matter, Chicago or the Boston game.
Either game, yeah.
Yeah. I thought, especially Boston watching it on Saturday, and I'm watching it, and I thought the Rangers could have get out, you know, they could have control nothing. Everything was a one-sided game, and it took him going iced and scoring that goal right before the end of the first period, really getting them jump-started. I think that little spark that he brings to the table, is little things like that offensively, is really helping getting this team going. And as long as they play consistently like they have, they've cut down a lot on the penalties. Some of it's still bad, but it wasn't what it was like about 3 weeks ago. So, So the last three games, the effort, attacking the net, it didn't, the way they came out at the beginning of the second period in Boston as well. I just putting the pressure on that Boston team is pretty good too. We already know, they're top. They have one of the top lines in the league, top three, top four line in the league, and they really held them in check as well. And I thought Lundqvist was fantastic as well as far as doing his job. I thought the defensemen in general overall have played a lot better, which is why we're in these games. So I'm still happy, man. I'm happy, and I think all this is like I think you've identified as well as after that Columbus game. The Quinn is going public with that, and they've really responded. I really, really like where this team has gone this past week.
I agree. You know, like I said, if people forget, it's not just rookies on the team. The coach is going through all of this for the first time, you know, in the professional level, playing with pros, pushing buttons, this and that, and it's a lot. You know, I'm sure at times it's got to be a little overwhelming, even though he has only rough on the bench that he can bounce things off of, who's been through it and all. It's a lot going on, a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, Steve, the team's still loaded with uncertainty because here we are, it's January 22nd. You're just about 30, 33 days until the trade deadline in February. And no word on Zuccarello's contracts, which probably means they're shopping them. I'm surprised you haven't heard one way or another about Kevin Hayes, though. Today I started reading some trade rumors about him and possibly Edmonton. I saw Zuccarello trade rumors with Colorado. I saw Namstakov's name pop up in a couple. This is how the next month's going to be, because as well as the team started to play here and as well as a guy like Zuccarello's finally woken up and found his game again, the Rangers still 9 games out of a wild card spot after with only, 38 games or something left in the season. They're going to be sellers again. Not as much as last season, but they have two guys who are UFAs at the end of the year, and if you're not going to sign them, you're going to have to move them. So there's a lot going on that we don't hear about and that we don't know about, but obviously something's got to be moved or it's signed or something has to take place is what I'm trying to say, because you're not going to let these two guys walk away. And it's kind of weird because you finally got like that first line playing really well. And Hayes is your best face-off man. I mean, the one thing we didn't talk about in the Boston game, they only won 36% of the face-offs, which is huge. Boston won 64%. They just couldn't take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Boston was 0-5 on the power play. So, you know.
Credit to the kill.
Oh, without a doubt, credit to the kill. But also, when Hayes is there, you win a lot more draws. See, the annoying thing about Hayes is you finally got him to a point where you want him. He scores. He wins draws in both ends of the ice, and now you may not be able to sign him or you can't come to a deal and you have to trade him. It's very frustrating. It's like how many – the Rangers never seem to have a lot of homegrown guys that stay long. And it's weird. I mean, I just did this piece that's going to be coming out in the next day or two on the top 15 defensemen. And I was looking at some of – I was looking at some of the numbers, though, but what I was trying to get to is that some of these guys, like Ron Greshnell, played for 17 years with the Rangers. You just see that anymore. He only played as a New York Ranger.
Well, before you,
and
before
it just
you,
doesn't happen because
you,
of salary, you know.
Hold on. Before you get any further with that article, is already final? You just haven't published it? You haven't put it up there? Or you're still in draft?
With my editors now, yes. I don't know. It's a big piece. So I don't know if it's going
to
go out tomorrow.
I would like to take a crack on who's on that list. I'd like to take a crack before we get off who's on that list.
I can't give you all of that. Otherwise, no one's going to read it.
No. I mean, I just like to see where I stand as far as historically with the Blue Shirts when it comes to the these are defensemen, not forwards, right?
These are defensemen only from the modern era, from 1972 up. From 1972 to now. I picked who I thought were the 15 best defensemen. Couldn't do the whole 92.
Let me take a crack at that before we get off.
Sure. You just don't have guys that stay. You grow them and you get them to that point where you want them to really take that next step and be that long-term Ranger. Mm-hmm. And now, once again, you're talking about trading them. You know, they did it with Callahan. And even though McDonald wasn't drafted by us, he played with us from the beginning, and they had to trade him and J.T. Miller. And you know something? After a while, from the fan standpoint, I mean, it gets kind of frustrating. It's like, what's the point of signing these guys to these big contracts and growing them from within? And then you just say, well, when it's not working out or it's not what we want anymore, and then they go on to bigger and bigger things. And McDonald is playing really well in Tampa. Callahan's been doing well in Tampa. You just know wherever Kevin Hayes goes, he's going to explode. So somewhere you have to decide, couldn't Kevin Hayes help so much more as a Ranger than being somewhere else? I mean, from helping the young guys to helping the organization.
I don't want to trade him.
To help. Yeah, I just don't, you know, and you don't really get, you know, Gorton and Glenn Sather and even the coach. they really aren't talking about what's going on in that element. Everything's really hush-hush and quiet. You know, you hunt around the internet and Twitter trying to see what Kevin Hayes' name pops up in trade rumors. You know, because that's all you can get. The Rangers aren't talking about it, but the Edmonton Oilers writers and bloggers and all that are mentioning his name all over the place. Colorado's mentioning
how
the Rangers had
some of that is like, but you already know some of it is about generating a buzz and the articles and people reading. I get that, but we as fans, we've always been down this road. It doesn't even have to be the hockey team. We talk about this all the time with the basketball team, the baseball teams. A lot of it is just rumors at the end of the day. I mean, this doesn't necessarily mean to be true. Now, in this case, logically, one of these guys are going to be moved. I get that. I'm wondering if fans, until it actually happens, then we'll address it when it does. But I think me and you are on the same page as Hayes. I mean, Hayes is the most upside. The reason why I would like to retain him, he's been progressing every year, and he's only, 27, 26? So what's the – I don't understand.
What's the upside to trading him?
the logic of trading him? I mean, he's literally going into his prime. He's getting better. He's homegrown. That doesn't make sense to me. We already understand why Zuccarello would be out there as far as trade bait and all that.
Yeah, Hayes is 26. He'll be 27 in May.
Right.
Chicago's first round draft pick in 2010.
Right.
I mean, you never, after transactions and all, he didn't play with the Hawks, but he's a homegrown kid. And you're right.
I wouldn't do it. I would not. He's been, better and better each season. And then it tells me, or it would ask me, what's the plan? That part I don't get. If he's really on the table like that.
That's scary. Man. I don't know if they have the game plan if Kevin Hayes isn't in the lineup. I mean, you can't just go by these he's only played in one game since January 1st, January 2nd against Pittsburgh. So, yeah, they played all right without him, nothing great, but you can't base your moves on.
No, I get that.
Are they really looking for another first-round draft pick, which they would probably get for a Hayes as a rental player going to someone who's looking to make a run right now? I mean, that's understandable if you're basing on what they did last year. But then again, if you're going to not sign him, then why are you waiting to the deadline, to the wire, when every team in the league knows you've got to trade him? Otherwise, he's going to walk and you're going to get nothing. So why, if you're going to make the move, make it when you can get the most out of it, whether we like it or not. That's the other problem I have with it. Don't wait until 2 weeks before the trade deadline and all the other teams are going, well, we're not going to give you much because if you don't trade him, he's going to walk away for nothing, obviously, because you can't sign him. So I think sometimes the Rangers spike their nose a little bit, and they have to be very careful with that on this one. Because, like you said, he's in his prime. He's a consistent goal scorer. He's scored over 20 goals in every season, but the 2000-2018 season when he only had the 2016 season, he had 17, and a 14. And in 2015, he only had 14. But he's a consistent goal scorer. He puts points up. He's on a power play. Now he's getting better on the penalty.
He's well-rounded.
He's well-rounded. He's what you want.
Absolutely.
He's what you want leading your team. But that's why I just don't get it. All these other teams are looking for a Kevin Hayes-style player, right? Why are the Rangers not saying, I'm signing him right now and putting this whole thing to bed and not worrying about it. Sort of like they did with Brady Shea. Gave him a nice contract and moved on, and let's not talk about it no more. Whether he's playing great or not, you lock him in and you hope to build around him. I want to build around a Kevin Hayes. Like you said, you can understand Zuccarello because of the age thing and this and that. Even though I think they could probably get him on a hometown discount if they really wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. But like we said, there's no discussion about it, so you don't know what they're talking about, and you probably won't.
True indeed. Other play from Thursday and Saturday from the Blackhawks and the Bruin game. I thought, especially in the Saturday game, we said as far as the penalty kill going 5-for-5 or over 5 for the Boston power play, I thought they did a good job you know, with Marshawn and Pasternak. I mean, these guys are lethal guys, and they did a good job accounted to them on the ice at all times. Lundqvist made some good saves in that game. And then that good burst between the first and the second period sometimes is all you really need. It's almost a carbon copy of kind of what happened versus Chicago. Because I would say historically, but the last several games, every time we play Chicago, it seems like it's always a tight game, a one-score game.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know that they are a show of themselves, although they still have the same leadership in Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. They got a lot of new pieces moving, different head coach. Same thing similar with Boston, but these are teams that could really, they have elite leadership. I guess that's the best way I can say they have great leadership. And I thought the Rangers going into Boston, especially on Saturday, just the way they responded was very, very encouraging. And a guy like Filip Hedl has become, we know the speed, but just to see it on display in the end and scoring the way he did is just remarkable, definitely remarkable. It's smart hockey too, RP. The neutral zone, they're winning a lot of the neutral zone too, especially on Saturday, man. It started off slow, and as the game got on, it's like they got the skates under them. It's all about the puck possession with this squad, especially because you said it again a million times as far as we're not elite scorers, but you can't be careless with the puck, and they've cleaned that up a lot. Knock on wood. I got a knock on wood on that, because the moment that starts happening, it's over with this squad. So they've done the job, man, and I like what they've done. Zibanejad, like you said, Zuccarello has played a lot better. So hey, man, when they step up and they skate, and they've done this on and off all year. It's like they've had this week where they went on a run and then a guy here drops and they start falling off as far as the continuity, the concentration, and just getting lazy. I mean, it's all a domino effect with this squad, especially, man. So just got to keep it going. Now, I don't know where this takes us after the bye week, so I don't even have the schedule up. I should have it up as far as who we have after the bye week. Because it really doesn't matter who it is. If they just continue to play like they did versus the Blackhawks, just like they did in one of the Islander games, and Hurricane game especially. I mean, I thought they did a great job shutting down their top line. And then also the Boston line. I mean, that's a top three line in this league. So top three, top four especially. So, I mean, if they do what they did. Like, my only thing is, can Quinn keep it up after they get back from vacation in their home countries? If they can keep it up, I'm hoping they will. And I don't know what
they got here.
I mean, we might compete for a second wild card spot. I don't want to jump that far ahead, but all I'm saying is compete like they're competing, and they'll be fine. That's all I can say. Now, you know, injuries happen. That's a huge part of this thing, because guys get hurt all the time. So, you know.
Well, the Rangers get a little lucky. A lot of home games when they come back from this trip. They'll play Philadelphia on.
They'll
play Philly on Tuesday at home.
They've struggled. You think we could turn it around against Philly? Because they've kind of had the last couple
of
games.
They're struggling. They're struggling. They're struggling with goaltending. Wayne Simmons' name is mentioned in going to every team in the NHL right now. So he's not playing where he normally is. But after the Flyer game, you go to New Jersey Thursday. And then and then we're home. And then check this one out. And then they're home for four straight.
Wow.
Tampa, L.A., Boston, Carolina, five straight. Excuse me.
Those are
Toronto.
Winnable games. Those are definitely winnable. Well, Toronto's in there, too.
Well,
Tampa
Bay's going to be a tough one.
No, that's a tough one.
They could be. Boston's always going to play us tough. That's a Wednesday night NBCSN game. Then Carolina's at home on Friday, the 8th of February. And then they're home against Toronto on the 10th of February. And then, the road trips all start. Winnipeg, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. There's a lot going on. It's a busy month. They've been playing very, very well at home. So what do you got? One, two, three, four, five. So in their next seven games, six are at the Garden. If they even want to talk about wild card, they really need to put together a good run. I tell you what, wild card's going to be tough. They're 9 points out. All the other teams are playing good. When you look at the standings. This division is so unusual right now.
It changes every week.
It changes every minute.
Keep up that, man.
It always does. But when you're looking at the wild card, I'm not used to saying the Pittsburgh Penguins are the second wild card team.
For now.
And that's where they stand right now. Now, here's the funny thing about that. That could change in any moment if they get hot. We all know that.
Yep.
They're not playing bad hockey either. They're 26-16 at 10-500 with 58 points. The problem is the division they're in.
They'll be in it.
The division they're in has got Tampa Bay. So, you know, the Lightning are playing so far ahead of themselves. I'm sorry, not the division, the conference. But
conference,
the Tampa
right.
Bay is playing so far above everybody else right now.
But you know, man.
76 points. And the Islanders are just playing.
You could be scorching hot.
The Islanders are playing. Well, look at it this way. Pittsburgh's got 58 points, and that's good for the second wild card team. They're only 4 points out of first place in the division, though.
Right.
So it's extremely tight. It keeps bouncing around, and the Islanders are having a phenomenal season, 62 points on the year. Washington
wants
a tough one in overtime tonight.
Yeah, it's funny with the Islanders. We said early in the season when they lost to Veras and Trotz came over. Certainly, yeah, it was fresh off the Stanley Cup anyway, but I thought a lot of us, myself included, I thought they were dead. I thought they were going to be dead as far as leadership. And it goes to show, man, just continue to skate. And I thought even Jersey, the great season they had last year, they kind of took a couple steps back as well. So you just never know.
But the Islanders are playing.
The
Islanders are playing with – it's like them against the world, and it's winning. They're showing the lead. They can win without Tavares. They can win without a real big superstar other than Barzal, the rookie of the year, was great. And they can also prove that they can win without really having a home ice.
Let's be realistic.
Brooklyn isn't a home ice. They don't have a lot of games in the Coliseum. When they do, it only holds 12,000 or 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know where they're playing in their playoffs, if they should make the playoffs. That's a whole other big thing that's been going around the last 2 weeks. Because they don't know, will they play at Barclays? Will they play at the Coliseum? It's supposed to be the Islanders' decision, but the league wants them at Barclays because it's more money. It's a whole bunch going on. And the players are like, well, we don't care. We're just going to keep winning and worry about it later. It's a great attitude.
They had one playoff series there. I think they played, Florida a couple years ago? A couple of seasons ago?
They play there, but with everything else going on, there's this whole big discussion now about, I don't know why, but there is. You would just think it would be at Barclays since right now there is their official home rink, but there's a lot of animosity over there with them.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is with the conferences and the divisions. It's always up, I would say up and down, but it's always teams get on a nice 4-6 point string and they leapfrog each other. So it's a marathon in the sport. So, and it's great. It's great for the sport. Before we get into the All-Star stuff, your article about the defenseman. I mean, we already know Leach is number one on this list. So let me think. 15 defensemen, huh? 15.
It was interesting.
You already mentioned Greshner. So I mean, go back to the early '80s. So
yes.
So he's definitely on that list. I would put Brad Park on there. That's probably going back mid '70s. Park's got to be on there, right? Ryan McDonough. I would put Brian Beck. I would say Staal might be on your list. You love Staal. He might be on the bottom part of that 15. Is Staal on that list?
Can't tell you that. Come on now.
All right.
You got to read it. Something like that to tomorrow.
We already
process eliminated three on me.
All right. Maloney's probably on there too. I know you like Maloney. Let's see who else is on there. Samuelson, that was later in his career. Maybe not. Who else would be on there? Girardi, definitely Girardi. He has some warrior years before he went on to the Lightning. Let me think. Who else would be on this list? Arnie Brown might. He was a good Ranger back in the day. RP has dropped. So when we get back on RP, I continue to think about who the hell is the rest of the defensemen on this list. So Brian Leetch. I said Brad Park, Girardi definitely. Gresham is definitely on the list. He's top three. He's a top three, top four Ranger all time with defenseman. Who else will be on this list? Definitely Mark Staal. I know RP is a Mark Staal guy, but probably more in the 12, the 13, 14 range, maybe on this list. But nonetheless, on the list. And Maloney. Damn, I can't think of right off the top of the head as far as defenseman for the Blue Shirts. But yeah, when RP gets back, we'll finish it off on this. He makes a great lot of great points as far as the conference, the divisions, guys leapfrogging each other. RP, bring you back on. I think I got a good 7 of you guys on your list. I'm not sure. I'll look forward to the article when it comes out. There's a lot of guys that came in later in the years, later in their career, on this list. We got the All-Star weekend as well in San Jose. You know, you guys already know with me, I'm not the biggest of All-Star guys, regardless of sport. I'm not into the baseball All-Stars or the football or the basketball. But RP, are you watching the All-Star game this weekend or All-Star festivities this weekend?
No.
No. Oh, you're not into the All-Star either.
No. I am not. I think if they're going to do an All-Star game, it would be the way it used to be when it's 5-on-5, and who cares if they score 19 goals. I mean, the NBA scores 290 in a game, and the NFL game is another passing, let's run up score kind of game. Baseball, they killed because they gave it to the winner gets home field in a World Series, which to me is a joke because that's not how you decide who has home, you know, home field. But hockey just turned into a overzealous practice.
Right.
I'm not into that at all. I don't enjoy it. I don't think you get all the good players. It's supposed to be the best of the best, the All-Star game. And because of the format and the number of players and the way it's broken down, I don't think you get that. So,
No.
Yeah, I kind of boycott it.
Yeah,
I don't enjoy it.
It doesn't even matter the sport. I don't watch none of them. Like, it's just not competitive for the obvious reasons. It's just a show. It's really for kids, really. It's really for the kids. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but the game should be a hockey game, not a 3-on-3, a 3v3 tournament style, shoot 'em up, run and gun kind of crap. And
right,
just hoping
right.
that none of your goalies pull a groin, making a stupid save in a game that means nothing. So,
totally
at least 5-on-5, it's a little different, but that's just me.
Is there you mentioned Hank is an All-Star, and I mean, for that only reason, I may pay attention to see how he does, and that's a stretch, or even catch the highlights. Is there any All-Stars that made it that you were like, man, you know, congratulations to him, or you would like to see? I know the dude Keller from the Arizona Coyotes. I know that was his first All-Star. I seen the list briefly of who made it. I mean, of course, there's no surprise.
I
don't
remember.
Some of these guys
are good. I mean, am I right? Was Austin Matthews not on the original list?
I
have to look it up really quick. I could have swore
he's got to be an All-Star.
There was something about the All-Star game with the Rousters. I know who's the one on Colorado you like, Steve Ogden's
Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah, I don't understand how I don't see how you could. That's what I'm talking about. How because it's of players, because it's only 3-on-3 and so forth. I just don't see how you, not have it. Yeah, I can't even find the roster. I'm so unthrilled. I'm sorry.
Ovechkin isn't playing.
Here's the other thing. Ovechkin decided he wasn't going
to
play because
he wanted to rest.
Price isn't playing with Montreal for the same reason. So both players were suspended one game.
What?
Check this one out. I wrote about this.
In a collective bargaining
agreement, it says you turn down the invite to play on the All-Star team, you're going to love this. You must sit out one game. It can either be the last game before the All-Star break or the first game after the All-Star break. They leave it up to the player.
Wow.
Which is a backdoor way out of it. But what they did was, and I can't find the article now, for Washington, it's either Ovechkin doesn't play in Toronto the last game before the All-Star break, which is on NBCSN, a national televised game, or their first game back is at home. Now, why would Ovechkin not want to play at home in front of his fans? So despite them, the league and Toronto and television are all going to get screwed. Because he hasn't said it yet, or I haven't read that he made the announcement. But I would think he would take the Toronto game. Because if I'm the owner, I would rather you play at home in front of my fans who spent all their money to come see you play in my building.
Right, season ticket holders. Right, good point.
And so now you screw the NHL package that they've been advertising Tavares and Matthews against Oshie and Ovechkin, and now he's not going to be able to play. Makes no sense. Even though they said it's in the agreement, do you need to suspend him? Look how he carried your team after the Stanley Cup Finals. You couldn't watch a clip anywhere without seeing a Washington Capital carrying a Stanley Cup with Ovechkin nearby. So just because it's in the agreement doesn't mean you need to do it. So that's the NHL.
They're just
being pricks.
I mean, they're just following through on what they agreed on. So, I mean, I understand that to an extent, but that's kind of crazy. But, hey, to Ovechkin, that's just more rest. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
One more game? Why not? Thank you. I'll take more rest. Because he's thinking Stanley Cups anyway. I mean, it's like a million All-Star games.
Yeah.
How many All-Star games that guy's got? You know?
Right. He's been at least the last five, six. He's always
at minimum. At minimum.
And you want to see it because, you know, he's fun with the 3-on-3 format, but he's even more fun and engaging in the skills competition. Him and guys like PK Subban, they have fun with that. They play up to the fans. That's where the game is supposed to be. Let's have fun and enjoy it. The All-Star game, the players should have fun too, but the format is so off for me right now that's why I don't like it. But in the skills competition, I think they're going to miss Ovechkin more than in the game.
Right, right.
Because he adds that flair that you want to see. You like to see these guys as normal people once in a while. And when they're with their other teammates and other friends on the ice, that's what you get. So I can understand why the league wants them there, but I can also understand Ovechkin saying, you know, it's a long season. I'm trying to get the team, you know, not just back into the playoffs, but back into a cup, and I would rather rest the 3 days. Makes sense to me.
Who's going to win? I mean, not that you care or I care, but who do you think was going to win that? Which division?
Probably the Metro.
You think Metro?
No, it's not going to be it. I mean, it's so hard to tell in 3-on-3. You know what I'm saying? There's so many goals scored in the game because of the format and so forth, and it's quick and it's sandlot hockey, as I like to call it.
Right.
I would think if all the Toronto's guys are showing up, the Atlantic Division will have a good chance at it. I mean, they got Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Boston going at it. I mean, all the top scorers are right there.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it translates. You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally understand it.
I'm just going to drink on Sunday.
I don't blame you on that. I mean, each division is loaded. I would think, but this game is in California, so I would think the Pacific Division probably has, I mean, for what it's worth, something to play for. I know a lot of those Shark players are probably wanting to convert, and Brent Burns, maybe Pavelski's is on there. Who else is on the Pacific? Oh, Johnny G is probably on there. Who else would be on there? Keller from Arizona. I mean, there's star power all over the place. I mean, I might peek at it if I ain't got nothing else to do. That's just regardless of all-star games anyway. I mean, just to see how it goes, and it is what it is. And you're right. I'm not really feeling the format for the NHL. I don't know what they're going to do about it. Going forward, and as well as the rate, you know, whatever ratings they get, it is what it is. RP, I look forward to your article, and hopefully I land in a couple of those former Ranger defensemen. Anything else you'd like to add before we get off, or some final thoughts, or any future articles, anything else you'd like to add to the episode here, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud?
No, you know, I like the way the Rangers ended the season. There's still a long, long road ahead. I really don't think they're going to make the playoffs unless some other teams have a total collapse. But that's not to say it wasn't a successful season. You have to take it from where they're coming from and what the long-term outlook that you and I have spoken about so many times. And it's not just to make the playoffs this year and be happy with that. It's to get the team on that same path, I guess, is what the Golden Knights were, or where the Penguins were when they put a couple of good campaigns together and get some real serious ones at the cup. On the flip side to that, I really don't know if Zuccarello is going to be here. I doubt it. So fans better prepare for, you know, some emotional, oh my God, because I think it's going to happen unless some miracle comes by and they decide to to give him a contract. Really interested what they're going to do with Lundqvist next season. And that's something you have to talk about now because in the KHL, Sean Skinner is playing lights out hockey for the last 3 years and he's set to come. And I don't think he's going to come to New York and they got to tell Hank, you're going to start 65 games again. So you might be seeing, you enjoy these 38 games because it very well might be the last time Hank is considered the number one goalie on the team. He might be doing a lot of split duty next season. I really believe that. So enjoy it while it's there because he has that no-trade clause, so we can't move him. But that doesn't mean he's got to play every game. And I think next year is going to be that first year when he's looking over his shoulder a little bit.
Right.
Maybe more than ever in his career, next year he's going to be looking over his shoulder. Because now it's going to be that next year is that transition year. Now you start mentoring this guy the way Mike Richter mentored you.
Correct,
and
correct.
That's where it's at. You know, that happens to every goalie. The Rangers wouldn't be in a spot if Hank didn't have the no-trade clause. I think they would have moved them last year, especially with this whole rebuild. They could, for someone like him who could, on a really solid team, could get them up there. And you know, it's great that he wanted to stay a Ranger and ride this out. It's admirable. And like I was just saying, most players don't do that with this day and age with the cap and all. But next year, he'll be looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, sure.
And that's good for
fans,
and it's good for the team. The bottom line is winning. It doesn't matter who's in that doing it. So that's my final thought on that.
All right, man. Enjoy the break. Enjoy the rest of this bye week, All-Star break. And, of course, we'll be back next Tuesday. Continue the dialogue. And hopefully these guys can come back from their vacations and whoever made the All-Star team, like Hammond Lundqvist and vacations and so on and so forth, get back into good habits, continue the good habits, and win games, man. I mean, nothing else to really add as far as the last several games since the last episode. So Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram, of course. Writer for Elite Sports New York. I look forward to the article, especially the defenseman he's got coming up, for former Ranger defenseman. Is it ranked? Let me ask you this real quick. Is it ranked or is it just random 15 guys?
It was the random 15 guys ranking it. I didn't want to rank it. I didn't want to go beyond 72 because there's a lot of guys.
Yeah, it is.
92 years of hockey. I would have just picked one from each decade, and that was boring. So I just went with who I thought was the top 15. I always like those kind of stories because there's going to be a bunch of people telling me I'm out of my mind, I'm wrong, I don't know anything, and that brings up hockey. Which is like what I like to do. I think that's the fun part of it.
No doubt, man. Cool. All right. So be on the lookout, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Leap Loop.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep loop, 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 bleep loop.